Hey everybody, welcome to Hit Rewind. This episode, we're diving back into the Godzilla MonsterVerse one more time. I'm assuming the next one will probably be successful enough, though John doesn't agree. It might be a flaming pile of dog shit.
Oh god, that trailer.
I still haven't
Both
seen it,
those
so.
Trailers. The newer one is a little bit better, but then again, Kong has a mecha arm that he punches things with.
I don't know if I care. It doesn't seem like that bothers me. So, sorry. Is that the end of the episode? Did I ruin it?
Yeah, we're done. How dare you? How dare you like the idea of that?
Well, it's already a fucking crazy ass concept in the first place. So I'm just like, yeah, I'll ride that train. I don't give a shit. I mean, problem is I think is because you just came off of probably the greatest Godzilla movie of all time, which I have not seen, and then you're going into the silly.
Yeah, and what's as funny is I've also seen the Monarch series, so there is a lot of like I'm primed for really good MonsterVerse content, and that one does not seem like it's going to stand up to the to what I have seen with these from those kaiju projects to this, you know, to like this series, and then what we're gonna get for Kong X Godzilla or Godzilla X Kong.
Why X? Crossover? What is the X for?
It's a
they're fucking, aren't they? That's it.
I'd phrase it like this: it's a Japanese thing.
Oh,
even though
okay.
These are American films.
Is that why the new Justice League animated movie is Justice League X RWBOI? Whatever RWBOI is?
Ruby.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's Justice League and Ruby is what it is.
Okay. That's weird. So, in 2014, let's say Godzilla is not exactly the hottest property in the world, so it's a shock that it got such good reception, critically and financially. Because in America, there's some of us who still have fun, even though we know it's fucking stupid. The 1998 version, but most people were pretty stung by it and were pretty angry with it. And then the Millennial series had wrapped up, what, 6 years earlier? 8 years earlier?
About there, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of petered out. But I think it's just long enough for you to miss it. And I think people were willing to give it a more dead serious approach. This is the era where that's happening a lot, is taking something new and giving it a darker spin.
Yeah, and what's kind of nice is, well, I'm of two minds on the 2014 Godzilla film, where, well, actually, I will phrase it like this. My biggest complaint with it is, and this is a really weird one, I'm sure. I hate the fact that Ken Watanabe, who is a really good actor, he just spends the entire film constantly looking confused or perplexed, or he's not sure of what's happening, or he's thinking about something else, and it's bothering him, but he's not sure of what's going on. Or, you know, basically, yeah, the entire time he has this confused look on his face, and it just annoys me because he's a great actor, and I just really wonder, it's like, why did Gareth Edwards want you to direct him to do this, or think that that was the performance he wanted from Watanabe? Like, I mean, I know people bitch about this film, that there's a lack of Godzilla. People, you know, felt like the what happens to Bryan Cranston was a total bait and switch, where they were hoping to have him throughout the entire film.
Yeah, that surprised me. I've even seen it before, but I forgot everything.
But I had a problem with that the entire... Well, that and also I think the Muto's designs are really stupid.
Oh, yeah. That was... Oh, could we, this see, for me, my problem with this is that it doesn't want to have any fun whatsoever, and it's so drab. It's the grayest movie I've ever seen. That's not actually shot in black and white.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, this is... I still think I enjoyed the fact that, like, one of the first big moments that we're going to see, you know, you're going to expect Godzilla to have this big old fight, and what is it? They close a door on you, and you're left seeing, like, what happens on video monitors and stuff. And I think that was just kind of like a... Yeah, we're gonna tease you a little bit before we have the big battle at the end. And I didn't have an issue with that. But having seen Monarch, and I know you haven't seen this show yet.
Not yet, no.
But it's kind of fun because the opening credit, the title sequence, is in Monarch. You actually see what they're doing the entire time.
Okay.
And it's kind of fun to see, essentially, seeing the full perspective of what that them trying to kill Godzilla is. And, you know, the repercussions of that, as well as the in San Francisco when Godzilla shows up and is destroying a Golden Gate Bridge. You actually have a lot more context in the show where just how terrifying that moment is. But overall, you know, this film, is it just me, or does Aaron Taylor Johnson just never seem like he really wants to go home?
No, he never seems like he wants to be in this movie.
Well, but his entire thing is, okay, he's separated from his family, and Godzilla has come, and he's destroying shit, and these other monsters are there destroying shit. And every moment that he could go home, he's going to all of a sudden, oh, no, I'm going to go off and do this other thing because monsters, and I'm in the military, but no, I'm... You know, it's like, but my wife and child are in danger. Let's go off and do an airdrop, or let's go off and get on that. I'm getting on this train with a bomb. I'm the only person who can take care of this bomb, of course.
Yeah.
And it just every single thing. He's like, yeah, I would rather have had Bryan Cranston running around being Raymond Burr from the U.S. version of Godzilla, for God's sakes. I'd rather have that than this lame story of military people who are basically completely ineffectual. Hell, we get a better version of that in Shin Godzilla anyway.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's... I think the movie's fine. There's some good moments.
Yeah.
I think it's even though it's drab as hell, there is some very beautiful stuff. Again, that airdrop where they're jumping down, you got that all that red flares and stuff.
Right.
As they're going past Godzilla, it's like beautifully, you know, beautiful stuff. And there are things here and there that are just, you know, there's a lot of stuff that it's just. I think it's a fine film, but it's definitely not the strongest of these films.
Here's the thing is, I think the problem is you start off with such a great opening sequence where I was tearing up when he has... It's Bryan Cranston's performance that anchors this, and then when they take them out of this, I'm like, yeah, I got no real problem with Aaron Taylor Johnson, but he just doesn't have that drive.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Olsen is fine. You know, I mean, it's not... There's nothing necessarily bad about this film. It's serviceable. It's not Godzilla 98, where it's, you know, it's like, but I think, yeah, we all wanted more monster. We wanted more monster mayhem, and we've got rando creatures instead of even anything that we know. We see more of these stink bug creatures than we do Godzilla, and the titular monster we don't get that much of, and it does kind of feel like a betrayal in that sense. But as I said, I laughed my ass off in theaters when, you know, again, that big first confrontation between Godzilla and the Muto, and it's where people are going into a shelter and the door is closing in front of them, and it's like, you know, that is extremely clever. And it, like I said, doing the fight on television screen, so you're seeing this and then the aftermath as well. It's kind of like, okay, there's, you know, it's like we're seeing the destruction, the consequences, but yeah, we're all here to see monsters beat the shit out of each other, really.
So after this one, of course, this is a massive hit, so they decided to go with... Now, did they... It's Legendary Pictures, the ones that are behind this run. Did they already plan a MonsterVerse, or was this like a, holy shit, we got it. We got it right. People like this. Let's go ahead.
I don't think they had the whole plans to do a whole MonsterVerse. It was because this one doesn't... Godzilla doesn't really tease much from this. It's just, okay, yeah, here's, we've got monsters. They've been hiding in the earth, but that's about it.
Okay.
We're going to test the waters, and if this does good, then we'll do something else. And that, that was ended up being Kong, which it's... I didn't look this up. I hope maybe you did. I didn't see, because if I remember right, Universal has the rights, or had the rights to King Kong.
Yeah, but... I'm not sure how this works, because there's a whole case with King Kong is that, well, see, they didn't actually buy the rights in the first place. So when they tried to sue for Donkey Kong, so they said they owned the rights to the name Kong, and so they sued Nintendo, but then they proved that they never actually optioned the rights from RKO, who were the first company to actually do it, but RKO never pressed it because they were out of business. Who's going to claim that if there's nobody around? And so then it turns out, like in 1986, Dino De Laurentiis, who produced the first one, was able to take the sequel over to his own company, and Universal had no sway over it. So maybe it's only the origin story, the King Kong, the original story, the only thing that they can do. But, there's a reason why Legendary couldn't do that anyway, because Kong dies in the end, and then they would put themselves in a corner where they could never go beyond that.
Yeah, and it's also, what's kind of funny is, it's not King Kong. At no point is he's ever referred to that or anything.
Yeah.
He's just Kong, which is still... generic enough that you can, even legally, I guess you can get around.
Right. There's been some direct to video movies called Kong.
Yeah, and what's now with Skull Island? Again, I'm going to bring up Monarch quite a bit because it is part of this, and I'm not going to. I might. There's a point where I will kind of tease something about it in relationship to one of the movies, but it's weird because I have a hard time seeing John Goodman's character, because his character does show up in Monarch.
Okay.
He's actually the first human we see in the show, at John Goodman specifically, which I didn't remember the character's last name, so it took me a while to realize one of the people was playing him, and I'm like, oh, that's why John Goodman shows up at the beginning of this. Considering that Monarch was a thing at the point of time that Skull Island, Vietnam is set, I really do have a hard time believing that Randa would be trying to sell a senator on funding a trip to Skull Island. Because he mentions this the nuclear test that was actually covered to kill Godzilla. It's like, yeah, and he was there, and it was kind of known that, at least government wise, that was the point of it.
Okay.
So it's like, it's weird because that is now a retcon. So it's kind of funny seeing this thing going. Yeah, I mean, I think he would have been able to pull the funding for this fairly easily.
Hmm. So what year does the show take place?
The film takes place, it's end of Vietnam. So,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's
73, 74, something like that. It seems like it's there, towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it's got a weird cast. You got Tom Hiddleston, you got Samuel Jackson, you got Brie Larson, and I don't dislike anyone in this, but I remember liking the film a lot more the first time I saw it, and then this time around, a lot of the film's flaws really kind of stood out.
Okay.
where it's just, and again, I think a lot of it is, it's in pacing and it's in some of just them, this the weird Apocalypse Now meets Moby Dick thing that this movie is.
I don't know. I had so much goddamn fun. This is my favorite of the franchise. Seriously, I was absolutely elated the entire time. It's weird. It's completely different than anything else in any of the worlds that they've ever done. The cast is bizarre. I really think it is strange though that how old is Samuel L. Jackson still leading this crew? I mean, yeah. At some point you're forced to retire.
Well, what's funny is also John Goodman, his character dies in this film, but, and again, retcon for a show that came out years later, I'm assuming that sequence happens, like, the sequence that we see at the very opening of the film happens later, because he's also on, if I remember right, Skull Island.
Yeah, and he gets sucked up and his flash keeps going off inside that creature.
Yeah, but he's alive, and he throws, like, this package onto the ocean, and that sets some events up in the show.
Okay.
But it's like, wait a minute, when does that happen? Because at some point, John Goodman is running from monsters, and I think he gets killed there, but in this, he gets eaten by a skull crawler. So how does that work?
Yeah.
But again, a TV show years later. But yeah, it's... There's some decently scary stuff, like that giant spider.
Yeah, which was a shock happen. Because you didn't know what it was at first.
Yeah, all of a sudden, just a guy gets stabbed, and you're like, wait, what? And then it turns out that's a giant bug, and you're like, oh, crap.
It's a monster fest, and it never stops moving. Though I keep thinking that, there's only 8 good guys left, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, there's 15 more? Oh, wait, there's 5? Where do these guys keep coming from?
Look up the Honest trailer for this film, because it also has the director in it going and saying, oh, come on, don't be lazy. Here are some actual problems with the film. And he goes off and actually has them... He actually goes and points out, there's too many characters, and we just got to keep finding more for whatever reason.
Because they need to slaughter them like crazy.
Yeah, oh god, John C. Reilly is so great in this.
He is, oh my god, and the ending. I never noticed the ending when he's back home. That was really sweet. I thought that was nice to have a character.
For sure. I did not remember that he went home, and that I'll be honest, that touched my heart when we got to that in those credits. I'm like, oh, that's because I remember them basically showing off the things where it's, oh yeah, Kong is going to fight Godzilla was the first thing they start teasing in this one.
Okay, how is it we get from the end of this to the beginning of Kong versus Zilla? I don't understand.
Well, that is partially because of, King of Monsters. That's... I technically, I don't understand why you get that, how they build that dome so quickly. they must have been building that thing for a long-ass time. But then again, no one really knew that Godzilla... Well, Monarch knew Godzilla was a thing, but they also knew that there are lots of creatures on this planet.
By the way, every time you say Monarch, I want to go, I'm the Monarch! Dr. Venture!
Dr. Venture! Yes, but yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like, that's what that TV show was kind of there to do, was try to put these pieces of a really messed up jigsaw puzzle together in a way that makes sense. But at the same time, it contradicts itself a lot, apparently, as far as I can tell.
I'm going to say something really controversial. I don't give a fuck about Godzilla. I love Kong. It's because they can implant so many human emotions onto him that we see ourselves. He's just a big boy. He's like a 12-year-old boy that doesn't understand and can't control things and just, it's very interesting watching his sadness through the movies and how much he cares for things. Godzilla, I don't see anything. I just don't see anything. Like, oh, he's a hero to the people. He's here to save. I don't. How do you know this? There's nothing that tells you this.
No. There's a thing from the trailer of this new film that really annoys me. Where it's, they talk about, there's a line, as I recall the trailer, that says, Godzilla is the protector of the Earth. Kong is the protector of humanity. And
so what? Godzilla's kind of like Gaia thing going?
Well, that does kind of tie in a little bit to King of the Monsters, because that's the whole him being the his species, I guess, are the ones that are that kind of are the alpha creature.
Yeah, the Titans, right?
Yeah, of all the Titans, whereas you have Ghidorah, which is a space. I do respect that they actually made Ghidorah a space monster. That he is literally, he is Monster Zero. He is a invasive species on the Earth.
Why is he called Monster Zero sometimes?
I want to say that's because that's the first. I want to say it was not the first one they found, but I think it's one of the ones where, I guess he defies. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what they say in the show, and I don't think they ever even bring him up at any point.
Yeah. Okay.
Beyond that, there's a creature in the Antarctic.
The director of this, Jordan Vaught Roberts, did such an amazing job, but I'm also surprised that he goes from The Kings of Summer, which is a good movie. But it's a tiny little, like, $2.5 million movie that hardly got noticed, to this massive, massive movie and hasn't directed anything since. That's bizarre. If you did something this successful, and he has a strong eye for, you know, his style, I just don't understand how he hasn't had anything made since then. I heard that he's doing, like, Mobile Gundam or something, a movie version of it, but I don't know.
That could be, but I don't know.
But it's been years. I mean, he should have had like two movies by this point.
Yeah, considering the fact that Kings of Summer and basically some funnier dice sketches are what he did before this film. It's like,
is that weird though? Because that's a newer phenomenon since like the Marvel world. Is that take these little independent guys that came out with one good thing, and then all of a sudden like let's hand them this $200 million movie? That you used to have to work your way up for that for a long time.
You had to prove yourself, and now it's just kind of like, well, I think it's a big part of it could just simply be we need someone that we can control.
Oh, well, this is interesting. He was brutally attacked in Ho Chi Minh City after this was done filming. I wonder if he got really hurt, and maybe that's why he hasn't filmed anything.
I would hope not. Not really, not that hurt as bad as that prevents him from working.
Yeah, but maybe psychic, like a mental thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It says here he has Gundam, Mobile Gundam, two movies back to back, and an animated series that's going to tie them together coming soon. So maybe this is just a big, big project he's been working on.
Well, hopefully he can make Gundam interesting, because Gundam really isn't. Or most of Gundam, really.
Okay. So our next film is Godzilla vs. Kong. Now, this is one that came out during COVID. I remember it was a big deal.
Actually, we missed King of Monsters.
I did. I'm sorry. King of Monsters. what a gorgeous-looking movie.
King of Monsters, this is the one that we really wanted, really.
Yeah. This is everything that you... if you're a fan of especially the Millennium run, is kind of boiled down into this movie.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we got Mothra, we got Rodan, we got motherfucking Ghidorah. We even got the Oxygen Destroyer in this film.
What is that? Like, I don't remember that.
That was the thing that kills Godzilla in the original film.
Oh. Okay.
And that is the thing, like, I'm sitting there going, oh my god, again, it's a plot point I completely forgot that they shoot that at Godzilla, and they shoot at Godzilla and Ghidorah and hurts Godzilla. It does nothing to Ghidorah, and it killed like a whole bunch of sea life. Yeah. And everything, and it's just like,
I was wrong. The Gorgeous One is the next one that Adam Wingard did. Now, there's nothing wrong with Michael Dougherty, what he did here. He's more interested in the exciting, fun fight sequences, but there's no real visual pop, but it looks great compared to that first movie.
Oh, this, and in much of I was complaining about how the story in Godzilla 2014 is not that good. Mm-hmm. This is the one that has probably the weakest BS human story of all time.
Oh yeah, they're eco terrorists or whatever, and they feel like they have to return the planet to the Titans, or they have to wake them up in order to save the world, which is bizarre.
Yeah, it's like, I like seeing Charles Dance. Charles Dance makes a fun villain.
Oh yeah,
but you know. It's all we want is the monsters that we want to see the toys smash into each other, and you would get some beautiful sequences. I think the of more than anything else, it's the that fight in Antarctica that is just, it's both a really hard to see what's going on sequence, but at the same time weirdly beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's something they could never pull off before. Some people, I think, were deriding this series because they relied so much on CGI instead of the puppets, but you just can't, not puppets, but you know what I mean, physical costumes and stuff like that, you just can't do that anymore. People laugh you off the fucking screen, and so they already started incorporating some CGI in the Millennium series, but this is like finally full-blown that, and it expands the story. You could not really pull this off on a set the way that, you know, they had to do this with blue screen and CGI. It's the way, now this is completely different, but I was watching the newer run of the Tremors movies. I was not a real fan of, but I do appreciate that they were able to create new Tremor monsters, because instead of reusing the same special effects over and over and over to save money, they were able to do CGI and kind of go in different direction with the characters and action pieces.
Yeah, and that just is, like, it's, there, you got these giant set pieces, there's a lot of fun there. The you got that big fight sequence at the end, where Godzilla's starting to melt down, which, again, it's, these films do also, the Godzilla portion of these do kind of race through a lot of different things, like almost like these are all anniversary films, mm-hmm. in a way. And it's a little jarring, especially like I said, especially this one. And I mean, what, it came out in 2019, so it's not. Yeah, what is it? No, actually, it might be an anniversary then, wouldn't it? Like a what, 54? So it'd be what, a 65th anniversary, something like that. Something like that.
Do you think that Michael Dougherty had watched wrestling when he does some of these? Like, you know how they have those pop moments in wrestling? I don't watch a lot of it now, but I get what they're trying to do. Like, these little surprise shots. They do this in kind of his Godzilla. Like, this whole thing, it's all quiet. You think things are over with, and all of a sudden you see the slow tail light up. Like, bing, 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 bing. Whatever, those kind of moments. I was like, did he watch wrestling? And like, for those little pop moments?
Yeah, that could very well be it, especially considering that, like, what his other films were, like Trick or Treat and Krampus.
Yeah.
So you have this, smaller films,
but they're fun, and I think he has an idea of how to please audiences on a very small budget. Clearly, very inspired by like Joe Dante, probably his biggest influence on how to shoot stuff and in pacing.
Yeah, like I said, I think this one is the most fun of all these films.
Okay.
Now, we were getting to Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah, sorry, I jumped ahead there.
Was a COVID film.
Yeah, it's one of those where, wasn't it the first movie, the first major studio movie to do simultaneous streaming and also theatrical?
Yeah, because I don't think Mortal Kombat.
No, that's like 2 months later, 3 months later. It's that, yeah. It goes that, Mortal Kombat, then Suicide Squad, and I think Warner Brothers realized, well, first off, it's starting to taper off some, but also we shot ourselves in the fucking foot by doing this at the same time.
Yeah, now, with these ones, this does tie in to the previous film, so you actually have characters returning, But all of a sudden, now there's this company, Apex Cybernetics, that is, now, here's where Monarch really is a tease on this. You see Apex Cybernetics, and you see a character who works there, and they have something very big that ties into this film, but they never say it at any point. But this is a character who definitely is responsible for stuff, and this is like when the Monarch series is first set. Well, main story is set is it crosses between like the 50s and then 2014, like post Godzilla.
Okay.
So they kind of tease a lot of stuff that's going to happen. If you've haven't seen this film, they tease a lot of stuff that's going to happen in this film. But what's kind of funny is this movie and Ghostbusters Afterlife are two films that came out in the same year. Maybe there's more that feature this, but I specifically remember these two, that they use a podcaster as a main character. And it's a character that is either a bit crazy or, what, on the spectrum?
I don't know. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. It kind of feels like a lazy attack on an extremely popular hobby. And, you know, I feel a little attacked here.
Yeah. But, I'm the crazy one, so I can't argue.
but also, in all seriousness, this does have something that really pisses me off, where it's they have the crazy conspiracy theorist be right instead of, you know, being a crazy crackpot. Because let's be honest, Bernie is a fucking nut job.
Yeah, well, it's also really irresponsible in this day and age of so much being taken over by poorly researched bullshit from conspiracy theorists who would then pitch you on something like, my new deodorant, my new man, testosterone pills.
Yeah, and it's like, this is a guy who showers with bleach to get the government spy, you know, spy stuff off of him.
Burn your weenie.
And it's like, in this day and age, that should not be encouraged in any way, to have a character who's that crazy be right. It's like, yes, I can divorce myself from a lot of stuff. I can, you know, having characters who you don't particularly like being parts of films and all that stuff. I'm not saying you can't do it or shouldn't do it, but at the same time, now it's not really the time to validate these sorts of things, because the world is really fucking dumb.
So
give it some time.
So Adam Wingard, I'm sure, was hired because of the guest, and he brought such glow to this, neon 80s glow to this, which I truly loved. And I loved the sequence in that middle, beneath the earth kind of thing. I love that.
Yeah, the hollow earth.
Yeah, and they tried to explain like how it works as they were going down. I thought that was really clever. I prefer the Kong story more. I prefer the cast more. I really felt for that little girl teaching and communicating to him with sign language.
Yeah, now here's one thing where when I was bringing up the thing about the trailer for the new one, Kong being the protector of humanity, Kong doesn't really seem to give a flying fuck about people. He is just blowing shit up, you know, left and right. He doesn't seem to be watching his step in any meaningful way. He's pretty much just a force of destruction, just like Godzilla is.
Uh-huh.
Except for the little girl. That's like the only time he seems to care is, oh, the little girl is being threatened.
Yeah.
I'm going to smash some people.
Well, I think that gives more credence to him being like a 12-year-old boy or even younger. His mentality is kind of ADHD, adrenaline rush, he's impulsive, doesn't think things through. Like him attacking Godzilla when Godzilla is clearly, I'm sorry, I know it's going to upset Kong fans, Godzilla is clearly more powerful than Kong.
Yeah.
And he just goes at him, and Godzilla's just like, get the fuck off me, kid.
Yeah. Now it's, I will say it's like, especially that boat sequence. Oh my God, that is so fun. That
Yeah.
is such a fun bit. It's actually a lot more, there's a lot more tension in that sequence than I remembered as well. But of course, this film has Mechagodzilla, and what do they build Mechagodzilla out of? King Ghidorah.
See, is that that's not what they normally do, right? Usually it's just this is a weapon that we're gonna use to fight Godzilla, which is still the
Well,
stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard of.
that was in the Heisei films, because that was what they, I think it was Mechagodzilla 2 or the one right after it,
Yeah.
where they were like, oh yeah, we came back from the future, and we brought our giant robot with us, and we're going to do this. Oh, and we built it out of, and I think it's, they destroy it, but there's also Ghidorah in that, so it's like, oh, we just put those two things together. There's no way that this is going to go badly. And let's be honest, even looking at the design, and once we see this thing just beginning in action before we get this reveal, we all knew it was going to go rogue
Oh,
and destroy things.
yeah.
I mean, there's nothing about it that said, oh, this is going to work out for humanity.
So it looks like this might be the end. But I'm sure, you know, anything, when it's successful enough, they'll just split it apart. You know, they'll just go in there, like Kong will have some movies and Godzilla will have some movies. They'll be lower budget. Because these are pretty expensive. And if they're not bringing in the money, you know they're going to cut back. A Godzilla movie can cost like $100 million, not 225 or whatever they cost to put them together.
Yeah, because it's, again, this next one is going to have more Kongs in it somehow, somewhere. I'm
What? Did they
guessing.
get him wet? Did he multiply that way?
Well, okay, one of two things is going to happen. Either in the Hollow Earth itself is where the Kongs are, we just didn't get enough time to spend figuring
Okay.
that out. Or there's a thing that's in Monarch that is, you kind of see it in Godzilla versus Kong, which when they're going into the Hollow Earth, that little like light show that they pass through, that is actually a thing that we end up getting a kind of see what it actually is called. Was it Axis Mundi?
Okay.
And basically, it is the way station between the Hollow Earth and our world. It's kind of like just a brand, like it's a world in itself where things are, but you don't really want to spend much time there because time works differently there.
Oh, interesting.
Which I will give you a spoiler for the show. This is why Kurt Russell isn't 100 years old
Oh, gotcha, okay.
in the quote unquote modern story, is because he gets trapped there for 20 years.
Oh, all right. Huh.
Or 20 years our time, let's say.
So
So,
what order do your four go in?
for these, definitely I'd probably go King of Monsters, Godzilla versus Kong, and then Godzilla.
Yeah, mine's Skull Island versus King of Monsters, and then 2014.
Yeah, it's like this. Like I said, I can complain. I would complain a lot about Godzilla versus Kong, but a lot of it's out of like love, because yeah, it's a beautiful film. There's enough big fights that are fun, and ultimately, a lot of what my complaints end up being are very like minute. You know, oh yeah, Godzilla breath weapons his way into the Hollow Earth. Fucking really?
If that
Or
were true, he'd
there's,
burn through every single creature there was.
yeah, or through the entire the first fight in Hong Kong, there's really never a sense of weight that these creatures have. I mean,
Okay.
we've seen them crash into buildings and stuff, but but Kong hangs on these things and they aren't necessarily falling down.
That's true. You'd think
Or
that they would at least bend or something as he's weighing on, because
yeah.
huge skyscrapers, they bend in the wind
Yeah, it's like, I
or
mean, there's
sway.
they do knock over a skyscraper at one point, but it's like when Mechagodzilla shows up, there's a shot that show, you know, like Godzilla, he's going through stuff, and you see cars bouncing on the road, and I'm going, okay, there's weight.
Yeah.
But at no point before that, in the beautiful, you know, neon world of Hong Kong, are we seeing this in this huge fight between these two creatures?
I will say, yeah, a lot of King of Monsters and, well, actually all of them except the first one, feel like video games.
Yeah.
Like it feels like they get rid of the fear factor of, oh my god, millions of us are at risk of being, you know, destroyed. Whereas the first one really takes in that disaster movie feel.
Yeah, and that's where, honestly, that's where Monarch really shines, especially in, I think, in its first episode.
So does Monarch work like Damage Control does in the Marvel Universe?
Kind of. You do see, it's a simple story of people trying, basically looking for their dad, who is part of Monarch,
okay,
and getting involved in some of the stuff, and like we do see some of the stuff like Titan shelters in like King of Monsters and stuff, but it's like one of the early times is that you're in Japan and there's an alarm that goes off and you see people going in, and one of the main characters is having a total PTSD attack because she was on the Golden Gate Bridge when Godzilla attacked.
Yeah.
And so she's freaking out inside the shelter. It's like you kind of get these, it's the character stories that you really would have wanted in one of these Godzilla films. And there are giant monsters. We do get not one every episode, but close enough.
Okay.
You get some sort of creature action.
Do you think?
But it's like,
go ahead.
But it's more the stories that you'd want to have in one of these films taken out of one of these films.
Do you think? I've heard rumors that since Legendary owns the rights to Pacific Rim, that they're going to try to combine the two worlds. Is that even possible? Isn't Pacific Rim like way in the future?
It is in the future, but then again, they have portals to other worlds.
Yeah, that's true.
But, God, I hope not, because I hated Pacific Rim.
The first one?
I didn't even see the second one. But
The first one, I thought the first one was fine. I didn't understand why all my friends were crazy for it, and the second one was pretty dull.
Well, the first one really made me mad, I should say. Not even annoyed. It made me mad because it's Neon Genesis Evangelion minus all the interesting stuff of Evangelion. Basically, it's someone who saw this story about, you know, PTSD and family issues and all these emotional problems and weird religious things, and said, you know what? All the interesting stuff should be taken out. Let's just have giant monsters beat the shit out of robots.
Okay.
So much so that they basically rip off one of the fights almost shot for shot, whether you have the Jaeger running through the city and smashing into this creature and stuff, and it's very close to like the first, you know, the well, second episode's main battle.
Do you think it's weird? I think we've had this discussion more than once. Is that like, okay, so I'm 47, you're 42. I guess it's just based on where we live, because like all of this is completely alien to me. The only Godzilla movies I ever knew were on Mystery Science Theater 3000, or you would find a few of the really old ones in the dollar bin, you know, at Kmart. The best we ever had was like Godzilla 85, and then anime completely, absolutely, like you couldn't find any of it anywhere except Suncoast Video, which we had to travel and go find.
Yeah, I had one in my local mall. But
did you have it on TV? Was this, because you grew up on the West Coast? I didn't. I grew up in Indiana, small town Indiana.
Sci-Fi Channel did start at one point during high school. Started airing stuff on Sundays.
Okay, we watched Akira in college out of curiosity. For some reason, I did not line up with it, so it's just so lost on me.
It was like, yeah, in like my high school, we had a little anime club. So,
okay.
And it was, you know, just a handful of people, and we were, you know, watched most of our stuff that we watched were like bootlegs. But it was a lot of this, you know, it's like, you know, we basically get a chance to see the stuff, and I had, you know, at the Blockbuster, at like I said, Suncoast was in the mall, but yeah. outside a comic shop they had stuff.
Yeah, we didn't have, like, we had no comic shops, we had no Blockbuster. I worked at one, but I had to drive a half hour to get to it. And even there, it was like in the whitest of white suburbs, and you didn't get shit. The Kung Fu section alone was embarrassing.
It's like, now, the video stores that I worked at, we didn't really have any of the Godzilla movies. But that was like stuff where, when I was younger, that's what I could rent that stuff. And yeah, like at a Walmart, I think I got Mothra, the solo Mothra film.
Okay. Yeah, it's just so interesting. Like, for Jacob, my other main co-host, it's all he's ever known. He grew up in the Bay Area. You know, he's 32, 33 now, I think. And he's never known a world where there wasn't anime. I mean, when you're born in 88 there, it's always been part of your life. So it's just very interesting. That, like, the generation before mine probably only knows Speed Racer. That's it. Gigantor.
Yeah, Speed Racer, Gigantor, Voltron would have been there.
Voltron's my Voltron's mine. Yeah, so that's 85.
They would have been old enough to have known that of its existence. That's especially because Robotech was surprisingly messed up for a quote unquote kids cartoon.
Yeah, most of the kids my age that lived on the West Coast, they're all like crazy about Robotech. I was like, I've never seen it. I only have heard about it in ads at the back of like a comic book. That's it. All right, I think we wandered off too far. Whatever. If you know by now that we wander off the ranch and we have to be herded back on. So that is it for us here. Thank you, everybody. And John, send us out.
Everybody, have a good time. Try and find Godzilla Minus One if you can somewhere. Hopefully it's going to be on video soon.
Some of them are real, still Godzilla versus Biollante, my favorite of that era. Still can't. It's so rare. It's weird. All right, everybody, have a good one.
Hey, have a good one.